This mic is on, and the reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, sort of. I don't know who's having the handheld mic or where that needs to go, but I'll let you come and position yourselves. And in advance, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked,
Seien dit niet mannen die allemaal Galileer spreken?
Le, ndi anine, ndi ne kwokwa, habu ndi Galilee.
Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?
우리가 어떻게 다른 나라 말들을 알아들을 수 있지?
Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
What betekent dit?
What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said,
그들은 술을 너무 많이 마셔서 술에 취한 것 같아.
They have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd.
Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on you people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Well, that was amazing, wasn't it? Just a little taste of Pentecost. And put your hand up if you speak a language other than English. Pardon? If you speak a language other than English. That's quite a lot of people. Quite a lot of languages. Great. Wonderful. Great. Thank you so much to all those who did the Bible reading. That was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Let's have a word of prayer together as we think about the passage. Father God, we just want to say thank you that on that Pentecost day, Lord, your Holy Spirit was poured out in amazing, in supernatural, in spectacular ways. And 3,000 people were converted. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you that everyone heard God being worshipped in their own tongue. Lord, what an amazing occasion that was. Lord, I pray as we think about the gift of your Holy Spirit this Pentecost Sunday, I pray that you would come and stir our hearts, Holy Spirit. Come and soften our hearts. Come and purify our hearts. Lord, draw closer, draw nearer than we've ever known you before. And Father, may we welcome Yes, the presence of Jesus, but may we welcome the presence, the person, the power of your Holy Spirit at work within us as a church too, Lord God. So, Lord, would you come? Would you speak to us? Would you be our teacher, Holy Spirit, now? In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I remember quite a number of years ago, because our boys were only probably about 8 and 10 years old, and we were on a long journey, and it was about a 5-6 hour journey. I think I've gone down to see my parents in Devon from a long way away, maybe from Glasgow. I can't remember where we were traveling from. And it was one of those hot days. It was sticky in the car, and we got a bit of a picnic and always a football. And so we were looking for a nice stretch of grass. And then we pulled off the main road and we just drove, and there was this huge, beautiful grassy field. And even better, it had a goalpost at one end of it. So, wow, that was it. We were out of the car. We had the place completely to ourselves. There was no one else there at all. So we got out the picnic, but I think we were playing football actually before eating anything, but that was how we were then and probably still are. And after about 5 minutes, something strange happened. This big Land Rover, towing a huge trailer, just came and drove right across and stopped right in the middle of this massive, massive grassy field. And then another minibus turned up with about 6 or 7 people in it. And it's fine, plenty of space, no problem at all. It's a huge area. So we carry on playing football, just keeping one eye just to see what was going on. And they got out and they started unloading this trailer. And they got out these 2 great big canisters. Lots of ropes came out. A huge canvas came out and a wicker basket. And then we thought, ah, I think it might be a hot air balloon. And they started to put this thing together. It took them about half an hour, putting all the ropes in the right place. And then everything was laid out beautifully ready. But the canvas was as flat as a pancake. It was just flat. The whole, balloon, just flat canvas on the grass. And then suddenly a loud whooshing sound. And the first blast of hot air was blown into this flat canvas. And there was a little ripple, just one tiny little ripple along the canvas. And then gradually, as they kept blasting this hot air in, suddenly, slowly, this hot air balloon started to take shape, a little bit wibbly-wobbly for a while. And then it was, just about good to go. So they'd, 6 or 7 people jumped into the wicker basket. And they looked a little bit nervous, I have to say. But they jumped into this little wicker basket. And then one last blast of hot air, and up this beautiful hot air balloon went sailing in. And we were just all waving, on the ground to those that had just taken off. Now, the reason for sharing that story is because it is an amazing illustration of who God the Holy Spirit is, and what God the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life and in your life. Because if you think about a hot air balloon is designed not to lay as a lifeless, flat piece of canvas on a floor, going nowhere and doing nothing. A hot air balloon is designed to fly. That's what it was made for. And in a similar way, every member of the human race has been designed, created, to be filled with the person and the power of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit isn't someone I received the Holy Spirit when I became a Christian and that's good enough for me. No, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us constantly, continually, and daily with his power and with his presence. But let me ask myself a question. And let me ask you a question as well. How often, don't have to give any loud answer to this question if you don't want to, how often do we lie as that Christian, lifeless, flat piece of canvas, believing the right things maybe, but not really on fire for God? When God wants to send the fire of his Holy Spirit into us that we might be a living, breathing, on fire, red-hot Christian, serving Jesus and filled with God the Holy Spirit. That is the default position for every Christian, not just for Pentecostals or Charismatics, for every Christian. When a person becomes a Christian, we receive the Holy Spirit, yes, but not all of us as Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to remain filled with the Holy Spirit constantly and continually, just like a hot air balloon should be filled with hot air, so we shouldn't be filled with hot air, but we should be filled, although some of us probably are filled with hot air. You might think I'm filled with lots of hot air as well, right at the moment, quite possibly. But actually, God's designed us to be filled with the heat, with the fire of His Holy Spirit. He's made you and designed you and me to be filled with His presence, to be filled with Jesus, to be filled with the person and power of the Holy Spirit. That's got to be worth an alleluia or amen, I would have thought. Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. Okay, so that's just by way of introduction, really, the hot air balloon. Just a number of points just from Acts chapter 2, many we could make. I'm just going to make several. But the first one is this. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. Just the one before. Verse 1. Acts 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Jesus had tried to prep the disciples for the time when he would no longer physically be with them anymore, but would be returning to heaven. And he tried to prepare them, to try to tell them many times, wait for the person and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to fill you before you try and do anything. And actually, the reason that balloon with 50 is on, the word Pentecost means 50th. They waited 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus to the day when the power of God's Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Jesus didn't want them to do anything until they'd been filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. If they'd have tried to go off too soon, they would have probably tried to do lots of good things and whatever in their own strength. They wouldn't have got very far. Jesus said, wait until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you will be empowered by God on high to really go for it. So what are these disciples doing? There are 50 days between the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They're praying, they're worshiping, they're waiting for God to give what he had promised to send. The Father had promised to send, and Jesus had promised it would be sent, the Holy Spirit. They wait for him until finally the 50th day arrives, the first Pentecost, the birth of the Christian church in many ways. And that is when the fire fell, when the wind blew, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me just a couple of other scriptures to emphasize the importance for you, not just for them, but for you and me as well, to be waiting, to be expectant of being constantly filled with God the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 49. The last words in Jesus' gospel of Jesus, what does Jesus say, his last words in Luke's gospel? Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay or wait in the city, and I should have put this all in bold there, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus didn't want them to go off without the Holy Spirit. If they'd have gone off without the Holy Spirit, they'd have been like, you know, sometimes we can get really busy, do lots of things, lots of our own strength stuff, and we think we made a bit of headway, but we actually haven't really made much headway at all. Jesus says, wait until you've been empowered. And that word is a word for you and me today. Matthew, wait until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Put your own name in the passage. Wait until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because when God empowers with his Holy Spirit, I tell you, he empowers. And everything becomes different. Let me just put it again. Acts 1 and verse 4. Jesus again, this is the first word, Luke picking up his second book, the book of Acts. And this is still on Easter Day, actually. Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but in bold, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus has been speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus continues. He says, it's a promise of Jesus, a promise to the disciples, a promise to you and me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus knew that for the disciples and for you and me as a Christian, being filled with the Holy Spirit is essential. Being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't an optional extra. Well, I'm not really that sort of person. I'm a different type. No, the Word of God says that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be fruitful, and if we're going to see God really at work, we need to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. So that's the first point Jesus made. Second point is this: the wind of the Holy Spirit that blows at Pentecost. Acts 2 and verse 2 says, "Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." Just imagine being one of the disciples. You've been waiting for 50 days. Think, come on, it's my watch. Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit was going to come. You know, it's 50 days now, you know. The 50th day, they're still worshiping, waiting until they've been empowered. And then suddenly, there's a blowing of this mighty wind. Well, I dare say they might have felt a little bit frightened. They might have sort of held on to their seat a little bit tighter than before, thinking, what's going on? The whole house seems to be shaking, and we can feel this wind of God's Holy Spirit. What's happening? Do you know what was happening? There was a blowing of the wind. There are many symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is wind. And certainly in the Old Testament, Ruach, in Ezekiel 37, if you remember, the Valley of the Dry Bones, can these dry bones live? Can this flat canvas be filled with hot air? Can these dry bones live in the desert in Ezekiel 37? And Jesus tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, speak over them. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And what happens? There's a wind. The wind of God's Spirit blows amongst those dry bones, the people, and they start to come to life. What? Filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. So the wind of the Holy Spirit that blows. There's also these tongues of fire that come and settle upon each of them as well. That must have been incredible as well. And if we think of the wind of the Holy Spirit, the wind is like the Holy Wind, the Holy Spirit. If you think of wind, the wind is essential to life. I know some people did a first aid course recently, and you know, I'm not going to, you know, pumping the chest. If someone has occasionally someone needs mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and if you have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, what you do, you blow a little bit of air, a bit of wind, into that person, and you pump their chest. I'm not a medic, so I won't say anything more than that. I don't want to give any wrong instruction to anyone here. But what happens, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, as air is blown into that person and the chest begins to rise and fall, hopefully, again. If you think of the wind, what does the wind do? The wind of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been a hot summer's day, you've been into some room, the windows haven't been open for months and it's really hot and sticky, and what's the first thing you do? You open the window to get some air to come in and just bring a little bit of life and freshen up the place a little bit. That's what God the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and my life, is to blow away the cobwebs and the rubbish and the clutter and blow in his presence, his power, his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is someone, a person that we should all welcome and invite with open arms and cry out for and long for on a daily basis. Okay, the wind of the Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 3 says this. It says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came and separated, that separated and came to rest on each of them. Again, another word, or one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God is fire. Wind, fire, water, oil, others as well, but here fire. And these tongues of fire come to rest upon each of the disciples, and they're probably gripping the chair a little bit tighter now. It's not just the wind, there's also the fire of God as well. You know, gosh, you know, we need to get the fire extinguisher out and all those sort of things. What's happening? But they knew that God was doing something. They'd been waiting. They didn't know quite what it was going to look like when the Holy Spirit arrived, but the wind and the fire of God's Holy Spirit. And if we think of the symbol of fire of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, many occasions, the burning bush, Moses, God reveals himself through the fire. If we think of the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, every night for 40 years, whenever the whole nation of Israel looked up, they saw a pillar of fire by night, the fire of God's presence that was with them throughout their wilderness journey. And it's a fire of God's Holy Spirit that falls at Pentecost. And the fire of the Holy Spirit that doesn't just want to burn at a distance, but actually wants to burn within us. God wants us to fan into flame the gifts and the fire of his Holy Spirit in us. Sometimes as a Christian, we think, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've done that. Let me say, we've never finished with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. We need to welcome his presence. And we need to, the best prayer we can start a day with, the beginning of a day is, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me for everything that you want to use me for and for everything I'm going to be doing today. Come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Praying that prayer on a daily basis. So it's a fire of God's Holy Spirit. And if we think about fire, what does fire do? Fire purifies. Fire gets rid of the rubbish. It's the best way of getting rid of filthy waste and all sorts of waste, whatever that waste might be. Fire purifies. And when we welcome the fire of God's Holy Spirit into our lives, he wants to purify us. He wants to make us more like Jesus. If I want to become more like Jesus, I can try a little bit of my own strength, but I need the fire of God's Holy Spirit to purify me. We all do. What else does fire do? Fire provides light. When we're thinking about the book of Revelation, we've taken a break today, but, you know, the lampstands, the lighthouses, it's a fire of God's Holy Spirit that God wants to see burning in us and others might see burning in us. It provides light to a dark world. And what else does fire do? Fire symbolizes power. If you think of, I think it is Frank Whittle, wasn't it, who pretty much invented the jet engine, amazingly, not far from here. And what's the whole principle of a rockets into space, an aeroplane flying, a motor car driving along the road? The internal combustion engine, there's a spark and there's fire, and the fire creates power to drive a whatever car or aircraft or space rocket might be. God wants you and I to have his internal combustion engine at work within us. The fire of his Holy Spirit moving in us. And that's what was happening on the day of Pentecost. And these guys are completely transformed in this upper room, completely changed forever. Why? Because they've met with Jesus, they walked with him for 3 years, but now they have the power and the fire of the Spirit of Jesus living within them, the Spirit of God living within them. And they suddenly are changed, are transformed. God wants to have a power encounter with you and me. And sometimes at conversion it can happen. It can happen at any time. It can happen today when God just reignites the fire of his presence and power in our lives. So let's be expectant of that. Continue to ask for God to fill us with his fire. The next point is this: be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, Acts 2, verse 4 says, again, I should have put in bold some of these. Who was filled with the Holy Spirit? In Acts 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Who was filled with the Holy Spirit? everyone. It wasn't, well, I'm going to fill you, 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 and you, and you're going to get the Holy Spirit, the rest of you not. All of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. No one is left out. The one, those who had the strongest faith in Jesus and those who are still struggling a bit maybe in their faith, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. No one was left out. Ephesians 5 verse 18 is an excellent verse. Ephesians 5:18 says, you know, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a one-off conversion experience. It should be a daily, continual experience. God wants us to continue being filled with His Holy Spirit. So I might be 99 years old or I might be 9 years old. God wants to fill me with His Holy Spirit. Will I welcome Him or will I leave the Holy Spirit at the door of my life? Please let none of us be one of those that leaves the Holy Spirit out. There's no biblical basis anywhere in Scripture if you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We cannot airbrush the Holy Spirit out. He is on every page of Old and New Testament pretty much. And God wants Him to be at work in our lives. Let me just get, there's a plug on that PowerPoint. Let me get a little illustration here. Okay, thank you very much to the... broken it before I even started. you can see here this wonderful, very fine, not quite sure what make it is. Vax, is that? Vax is the make. Okay, it's a Vax. Sorry, no advertising. a Hoover, okay? And this this is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I can push it up and down along here. And it looks great. It looks apart. It looks exactly like it's a vacuum cleaner. And but you know what? It looks like a vacuum cleaner, but absolutely it's not acting like a vacuum cleaner, because if you want this vacuum cleaner to work, you have to get the power socket, and you have to push it into the power socket. And what was happening on the day of Pentecost is that God was telling the disciples, you need to plug in to the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life. Otherwise, you might look like a Christian. You might look, you know, just the part, you know, nice color, purple and gray and silver. But unless, as Christians, we're plugged in to the person of God, the Holy Spirit, do you know what? We can just be going through the motions. Whoops, so I haven't broken it, honestly. We just can be going through the motions of what it is to be a Christian. We can look the part, we can maybe know the part, but God says, that's great, and that's why Jesus is at such pains to tell the disciples, wait in Jerusalem for those 50 days until you've been filled with the Spirit, and then go for it with everything you've got and all that I'm going to give you. So a Christian is someone who is filled with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our lives, there are some things we need to unplug from. We can plug into the wrong things. God wants us to plug into His supernatural source of power, the person and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So may I do that this day, may you too. Okay, we're nearly there. Just a couple more points. Next one is this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is totally biblical. Let me just read again. I started at the beginning of this service. Let me read again just from Joel chapter 2. Do you know the prophets longed to see Jesus? They prophesied about Jesus. They would have loved to see Jesus for those 33 years in Jerusalem and Galilee and in Israel. They also, many of the prophets, prophesied about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They longed to see the days when the Holy Spirit would be poured out in an incredible way on all people. And here Joel prophesies this in Joel 2 again. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people again. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. One of the most beautiful things about God the Holy Spirit is this. God the Holy Spirit is for every follower of Jesus. From whatever nation, whatever tribe, whatever language, whatever tongue, God the Holy Spirit is for all. And let me just highlight this point. The Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago and today here at Beck and anywhere else as well, the Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not racist. It is for all people. Everyone. There's no race, there's no tribe, there's no nationality that is excluded. The Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not sexist. The Holy Spirit is poured out, it says, on sons and daughters, both men and women, male and female, everyone, all. The Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not ageist. There's not a minimum or maximum age. It says the Holy Spirit is for young people and old people. Let's pray that God the Holy Spirit is moving mightily and powerfully in the children and children's ministry right now, just as we pray that he would be operating here too. The Pentecost outpouring of the Spirit is not elitist. It says the Holy Spirit is poured out on male and female servants. That word can also be translated as slaves. Doesn't matter what your ever rank structure we think we might have or whatever position we may or may not have, it's for everyone. The Holy Spirit is a complete leveler. It is for all, it's for everyone, it's for you and me. God wants to send his Holy Spirit on everyone who will commit themselves to following Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, and as their King. And final point, the Holy Spirit helps us to witness to Jesus. We didn't actually read this bit, but I've gone to the end of Peter's sermon, which he hadn't had much time to prep for, but I think God the Holy Spirit helped him to preach it. And at the end of Acts 2, so it's the same day, same passage, same day of Pentecost, this is what it says. Peter replied, when the crowd say, hey, we're convicted, the Holy Spirit's convicted, what should we do? And in verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then here it comes. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. If you're a follower of Jesus, your name is in this passage. The Holy Spirit is for all who will be called. Even 2,000 years on later, all those God has called, he wants to see filled with the Holy Spirit. Please don't let anyone undermine your confidence, your trust, your faith in God, the Holy Spirit. Sadly, there are some who, you know, maybe they read the Bible a different way, but let me tell you, you cannot airbrush the Holy Spirit out of Scripture. Not if you're going to be a Bible-believing Christian. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you've got to accept it's there in black and white. I cannot airbrush these bits out of it. It's so clear. It's so there. And we hear from the lips of Jesus. We could have gone many other places, but mainly today, just how intentional Jesus was that all his followers would be those filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I think I've probably said enough. What's our response to God going to be today? What is it that God wants to do in our lives? Well, I can tell you that just as the wind and the fire blew that first Pentecost, I know that today God wants to send his presence, the presence of his Holy Spirit, upon each and every one of us here. Like Jesus, he won't bash himself against you if you don't want it. Like we can reject Jesus, we can also reject the Holy Spirit. Please don't be a follower of Jesus who rejects the Holy Spirit. welcome, accept the person, the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life, because he has the power to change and transform you.